This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. This is the Pulse, the show that brings you the latest in the music world and fresh new music. Daryl and Han with you this evening. Before the break, we did a story on the Grammys, on whether it's still relevant. Do share with us your thoughts. You can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Right, Hanif, what's our next story?
Yeah, the next story is about the inventor of the cassette tape, Lou Ottens, that he passed away last week. He was 94. And I think this is a perfect time, I guess, to reflect a bit on the medium, right, cassette. Well, I'm not exactly young. My exposure to music format started more with this, actually. Mm. I only remember my dad buying a couple of cassettes, but ever since then, I've always gravitated towards CDs, which Ottens was responsible for as well. And that's my preferred format, as much as it's slightly more expensive than, which means less cassettes for me. What about you, Daryl?
For me, cassettes, sure. I mean, we had the same age, the same era. So we grew up with cassettes, and I miss the joy of trying to, well, joy in the commas of trying to rewind
the cassette
using a pencil.
Yeah.
Those were the good old days. And, you know, back then, those cassette recorders were not cheap at all, right? You know, those Walkman cassette recorders. So, you know, I didn't really have a personal one, but my family had a tape player and a cassette player. So, yeah, I used that a lot.
Yeah,
my first album was actually a cassette. So.
That's great. Because I think my first album was actually a CD, so I'm not really that familiar with the medium. Mm. But it's interesting to know that, I think, you know, one way or another, a lot of people already were exposed to cassettes.
Even
first,
to today, you know, the culture is still here.
It's still here, and it's still quote unquote popping.
Yeah.
Yeah, but coming back to Ottens, let's just, I guess, bid a bit of tribute and also reflect on his career and life story. He was an engineer that ended up as product development manager at Philips, and growing up, he has always shown interest towards engineering, including building a radio as a teenager so that he and his parents can listen to Radio Oranje during wartime. He's from the Netherlands, right? Mm. So he famously equipped the device with a directional antenna called Germanen filter to avoid the jammers used by the Nazi regime.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so after the war, he managed to obtain an engineering degree and started working at the Philips factory in Belgium in 1952. 8 years after that, he was promoted to the head of the company's newly established product development department and came out with EL3585, Philips' first portable tape recorder. So this tape recorder was slightly bulky and kind of big, and he was quite annoyed with the bulkiness of that tape recorder and decided to better his invention with a tape that, according to him, should fit in the inside pocket of a jacket. Lo and behold, the cassette tape was born and made its debut in 1963.
That is crazy, you know, because it must be some kind of revolutionary move at that time, you know, vinyls were all the rage.
Yeah.
And then to move to an even smaller medium.
Yeah, initially it was a bulky tape, but then it moved to a smaller medium. Like, the cassette tape is literally something that you can fit into your, like you said, jacket, pocket of a jacket, right? It was so groundbreaking that pictures of it made its way to Japan and substandard imitations started appearing there.
Mm.
And he was not happy with that, so he eventually made an agreement with Sony so that the patented Philips mechanism can be made the standard. So usually when it comes to things like these new inventions, they will sometimes agree to a standard, like how, you know, CD versus or the Blu-ray versus HD DVD and things like that. So when it comes to this, I think he sort of like made a push for the industry adopting a standard, you know, by Philips, right? Yeah, so the format soon became a hit and led to Sony producing the iconic Walkman, a portable device that plays the cassette, like you said earlier, Daryl. This device was also quite revolutionary, but according to Ottens, this was also his biggest regret, not getting to this first.
Mm.
He said that it still hurts that we didn't have one. But despite the success with the cassette, he didn't stop there and move on to become the director of audio at Philips NetLab in 1972. While there, he helped produce another music innovation, the CD, via a collaboration with Sony that was released in 1980.
So this man basically revolutionized the music industry.
Exactly. Yeah, he's very, very influential. I mean, while the appreciation for cassettes has seen a rise lately, Ottens was never a romantic, and he solely focused on the quality of the sound, which is why he said that the CD is a much superior quality as it is not susceptible to rumble and noise. So to find out more about the legacy of his greatest and most impactful contribution, the cassette, we speak to Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. Matt, thanks for joining us on the line. One of the things that Lou Ottens complained about the earlier models of tapes that were available then before he created this current iteration was that it's too bulky. This shows how portability has always been a constant and important part of the music listening experience that led to the creation of not only the cassette, but also devices like Walkman, Discman, and eventually the iPod. Has music always meant to be listened to on the go, and has Ottens contributed massively to this?
Well, I mean, in terms of his music always been meant to be listened to on the go? I mean, I think the answer to that is yes, but up until just over 100 years ago, we didn't have any recorded forms of music, or very few. There were, there were a few sort of clockwork-based machines, I think, in the probably the late 18th century, and sort of going into the 19th century was when we saw that automation. But music used to be people singing or bringing instruments and whatever. In the early part of the 20th century, music sales were largely in the form of sheet music. I mean, we talk about sort of Tin Pan Alley, and we talk about the kind of early pop stars, Frank Sinatra, and going back even further to the sort of 1930s and things. But the number of records that were actually sold was very small. Most music was sold in the form of sheet music. And that continued on and into the 1960s. So as you were saying, the technology that was there, yes, people had record players, and there were things like portable dansettes. So you could take these machines out, but they were still very large. Music wasn't something you listened to on the go. So this really was a revolution, what Ottens brought in, to miniaturize the cassette and recorded music, and to be able to put it into your pocket. Because don't forget that the cassette didn't just enable us to record albums, it enabled us to make field recordings, for example. So people that recorded concerts, people that recorded the early folk songs, they would actually have to take out these massive rigs to record people and do field recordings. So it was a huge sea change. And of course, you have that democratizing aspect as well, because it's no longer just available to professionals. It's suddenly available to, you know, ordinary people to have that power to, whether it's to record their own speech or to record themselves jamming or just to record songs from the radio or from television.
Yeah, and the cost is also definitely much, much cheaper, right?
Well, of course, that was one of the things. I mean, the early cassette players, I think, in the 1960s were still fairly expensive. So we didn't see the real take-off of the form until, I think, the kind of early 1970s. So there was definitely that kind of early adopter phase to it. But yes, I mean, the technology did start to drop in price. And I mean, I remember, you know, people of my kind of generation, we used to watch Top of the Pops, the Top 40 TV program in the UK. We'd watch that on a Thursday evening, and you'd watch it with a tape recorder. You'd tape the songs that you loved either off Top of the Pops, you know, just holding it up to the speaker on the TV, or doing the same with the radio, holding the cassette player up to the radio and taping the songs that you wanted to record and preserve.
Mm. Cassette was not only impactful in music consumption, but also in music production, right? So how did cassettes change the landscape in this aspect?
Well, obviously we have that idea of mixtapes, so you were able to put your favourite songs together and exchange them with other people and send them to other people. I mean, one of the things with pen pals was that, you know, you used to send cassettes to people, but also just in terms of making music as well. If you look at that real music making side of things as well, people would have needed big reel-to-reel recorders to sit at home and record a demo or jam with their friends, and suddenly they have this ability to record. So when we listen to a lot of these kind of reissues of archival recordings from the 1960s, 70s and 80s, a lot of it is often four-track demos on cassette tapes, because that was the technology that came out at that point. So we started to see musicians being able to make these very basic multi-track recordings at home using this very basic technology that Ottens had developed.
Mm. The format has enjoyed a bit of a resurgence lately due to nostalgia, but beyond that, were there any actual reasons why people still prefer cassettes? Even Ottens himself has admitted to the superior quality of sound of his next creation, the compact disc. So what's the appeal of the format?
I honestly don't know. I mean, it's just one of those forms. It is very tactile. I mean, it's not the best format in terms of, as you said, the sound quality, the sound quality, particularly if you have a low quality tape. The sound quality can be absolutely appalling, and it degrades over time the more times you listen to it. The tape can also stretch. It can snap. You know, one of the things of being part of that cassette generation was knowing how to splice tape to be able to take a razor blade and take bits of tape that had snapped and splice bits together so that you could continue to use it. But a lot of people liked the warmth and the kind of degradation that the medium gave it. I mean, there are some sort of 1970s and 1980s artists that I listen to now, and I find the recordings from CD and from streams too bright because I was used to that slightly muddier sound that you would get from having it on cassette. I listened to the cassettes. I bought the cassettes. And for me, that was what the albums should sound like. So when I listen to remastered, perfected versions of the albums now, they might be technically and technologically a lot better, but they don't have that nostalgic recall that I remember from listening to those cassettes. And also the format itself, as much as it's become a slightly hipster thing now, it's never died out entirely. In the US, for example, there's still a thriving market for cassettes, largely because many of the prisons in the US don't allow CDs, because obviously CDs can be turned into weapons. They don't allow vinyl for the same reasons. They don't allow digital technology in. So you have companies that make audio cassettes specifically for the prison market. So people are still making cassettes and sending them to inmates. And there's a kind of parallel industry inside these prisons maintaining Walkman and cassette players from the 1980s and the 1990s, because those are the only machines that these inmates have to listen to music on. So you have this weird situation of, you know, the latest hip hop and rap tracks being recorded onto these old formats and being played back on these, you know, jury-rigged cassette players by people, because that's their only access to new music.
That was Matt Armitage from Culture Pop sharing his thoughts on the cassette and its legacies left by its creator, Lou Ottens, who passed away recently.
Yeah, imagine a world without the tape, without the CD. There'll be a huge void. I'll hate to imagine where the music world will
exactly,
be today. Will,
exactly, yeah.
Rest incredible. In peace. Rest in peace, Lou Ottens. You'll be missed.
Yeah.
You're locked into The Pulse, and coming up, we have a segment we like to call By The Way. But first up, we have a fresh track from Genghis Tron, Hanif.
Yes, Genghis Tron. Yeah, what a name. So this is a fresh track from an experimental metal band that's about to drop their new album since 2008. Don't worry, this is not a metal tune. It's more synth prog. Here's Genghis Tron with Dream Weapon, taken from the album of the same name to be released at the end of this month. You're tuned into The Pulse, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.